Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Light Point on Blog Talk Radio with your host, Keith Miller, the show that focuses on living your faith and making an impact.
Good morning and welcome to the first edition of Light Point, the show about living your faith and making an impact. And that's what we're going to talk about briefly here, the first thing this morning. Usually what will happen in the future, these segments are going to be 30 minutes long. I'm going to expand them to an hour once we get our guest schedule put together so that we know who's going to be on and so forth. And the people that we're going to be interviewing are people that are making an impact by living their faith in their occupation or in other ways. For example, one of the people that I'm attempting to get right now is Kelvin Cochran, who's the former fire chief of the Atlanta Fire Department. He was fired because of his Christian faith, and we're trying to get him on. That would be an example of one of those people. We're trying to get Candace Cameron Bure. We're trying to get Kirk Cameron. We're trying to get people like that as our guests, and ordinary pastors and different people that are making a difference because they're not afraid to live their faith. And that impact is on the people around them, the culture, and so forth. So that's what the basis of the show is going to be. And each morning there will also be a topic that we'll discuss. This morning it's the lie of living in the middle. And when we talk about living in the middle, what are we talking about? You know, if you're a sports fan, for example, if you're a true sports fan, then you go to the games, you cheer, you wear the apparel, you do all those things, and you basically live, breathe, and sleep that team because that's what you do. Well, when it comes to Christianity, there are a lot of people that are living in the middle, and they think that that's okay because they were born again, they accepted Christ, they were baptized, they go to church once a week, they, you know, believe that that's enough, that is what the Christian life is about. Well, that's the lie of living in the middle. When they get to that point, some of them get to the point where they think that because they're a Christian, because they go to church, that the rest of their family is automatically going to get a free pass to go to heaven, and that's not the case. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. So what's wrong with living in the middle? A good person, you know, is what people say. I'm a good person. I'm not that bad. And so surely I deserve to go to heaven. So is it about just living a good life, or is there more to it than that? Maybe you're a Christian and you go to church most Sundays. You don't attend a life group or any other classes or functions, but the service once a week. That's okay, right? You know, you're not involved. You go, you make your appearance, everything's fine the rest of the week. If somebody says something about it, you talk about that you went to church, but you really don't tell them anything other than that. Yeah, I went to church, and, you know, that's great and so forth, but do you ever share anything more about it? Do you talk to them about what was talked about in the sermon? Do you then, if the opportunity comes and the Holy Spirit leads, do you witness to them? Are you afraid to do that? So that's living in the middle, is when you do those things. So no one's in the middle. No one is almost there. You know, when I was in the Marines, the old saying was, close only counts in hand grenades and horseshoes. And that's the way this works, too, in a way. You know, you either draw close to God or you don't. If you draw close to God, then you have a close personal relationship with Him. And then you develop a heart for the things that God has a heart for. And the lost are one of the most important things, and one of the things that He has His heart set on is to reach the lost. And that's where we come in those areas. So either you are in a relationship with Christ or you're not. Either you're born again or you're not. You're either God's child or you're God's enemy. And I know that sounds harsh. Some people won't like that thought, but you either are with Him or you're against Him. And you are either storing up wrath or you're storing up mercy. I don't know about you, but I'd rather be storing up mercy than storing up wrath. And you're either heaven-bound or you are hell-bound. no one, and I want to say that very strongly, no one is in the middle. There is no middle that works. No one is almost there. And those who have chosen to reject Christ are condemned. It's wrong to believe a loving God will not send unbelievers to hell. And that is the way it works. It was so important to him to bridge that gap that sin had created that he sent his son to die on the cross, to be resurrected so that our sins would be forgiven. But we have to believe, we have to trust, and we have to obey. And that's the part of this that means either you're in the middle or you're not. So when we go from there, from that point forward, what are we talking about? You know, we've got to stop looking at things and doing them halfway. You can't just be lukewarm about this. You have to be one way or the other. So when we accept Christ and we are born again, you know, we're like a newborn child, and a newborn child can't feed itself. A newborn child can't take care of itself. It doesn't know how to walk. It doesn't know how to do any of those things. Well, as Christians, when new believers, when people are born again and they come into the church, it's our responsibility as the church to work with those people, to disciple them, to train them up in the ways of being a Christian, in the ways of living in a walk with Christ. And so when we just walk in the door on Sunday morning and we go to the service and we enjoy the music and we do all those things, and at the end of the service we walk out the door, we shake the pastor's hand, and we go on, we're not doing anything to further them, but we're, more importantly, we're not doing anything to further our own walk with Christ, to mature in Christ. And that's a problem, because if you're not maturing in Christ, then you're probably not witnessing to your fellow co-workers, your friends, your family. And you may be the one person that has the ability to witness to them, or you may be the one person that's going to reach them, because you have a personal relationship with them. And that's important. That personal relationship is what makes a difference when you're witnessing to people. The Holy Spirit leads you to talk to that person. The Holy Spirit has to open their heart and their mind so that they're going to receive what you're talking to them about. But that's what happens. So when we live in the middle, all those around us are affected by that. All of our friends and our family, because they see us as, well, yeah, he's a good person. He or she's a good person. They go to church. They do this and that. But you don't ever talk to them about it. You don't ever give them anything to tell them what it is about it. You don't really live the Christian life fully, because they're not seeing the light. All they're seeing is you go to church, and hopefully you don't wear it as a prize that you walk around the week, you know, with your prize on that you went to church and that makes you okay, and that everything's, you're bound for heaven because you simply went to church. It doesn't work that way. So, you know, there are a lot of Christians that tell people they love the Lord, they offer hugs, and they tell people they'll pray for them, yet they only share hints of the gospel. You know, they may say, well, John 3:16 or this, and, you know, maybe you're one of those kind of people that you go to a football game and you hold a poster up that's got big letters and say John 3:16. That's great, but it's not going to get anybody there, because you're not personally engaging them and talking to them about the gospel. So that's living in the middle. You know, you do it halfway. You don't have a real commitment to it. You believe, but you don't ever do anything about that belief. There's no action that goes with that belief. And that's not what God wants. God wants us to have a personal relationship with him. He wants us to know that we're empowered by him when we have that relationship through the Holy Spirit, to be able to talk with people about our faith and about living the life according to the way that he intends us to live it. And, you know, a lot of times it's living the life, showing compassion, showing love for one another, and just that difference in you that when it sets aside, that, you know, it puts you apart from the rest of the world. And people look at you and they go, I don't know what he's got, but I want to know what it is. And I want to talk to him about it or her about it, because there's something different about that person. And that's how you're able to reach people. So when we look at this, when we're talking about living in the middle, that's what I'm getting at, is that we do it halfway. We're not really making an effort. We're just going through the motions. We're not enthused. We don't have the joy of serving God in our heart. We're just doing it halfway. Sometimes, you know, maybe you put a silver fish or a Honk If You Love Jesus bumper sticker on your car, and, you know, we think that maybe that will lead people to Christ. Or maybe we are a little brave and, you know, like I said, you go to the football game and you wear the, you know, you wear a t-shirt that says John 3:16, you walk around and so forth. You know, maybe you wear Christian t-shirts that have a message on them, and to you, that's the way that you're going to reach people. And it may be, but the problem is it may be that somebody's going to see that shirt and they're going to walk up to you and they're going to say, what about that? Tell me about that. And are you going to be prepared, or are you ready? Are you mature enough in your faith? Are you going to rely on the Holy Spirit to do it, or what are you going to do? Are you going to choke when they ask you? You know, it's great to do those things, but be ready to use those opportunities. So these things don't share enough information to allow the Holy Spirit to effect a heart change. Sure, we talk about the lost, but do we talk to the lost? We're real good about talking about the lost, but do we actually go out and talk to the lost? You know, that's a big difference, because if you're not talking to them, if you're talking about them, that's one thing. You know, a lot of people say, well, I'm not a witness. I'm a prayer warrior. That's my thing. Well, I'm sorry to tell you, but every Christian is to witness, and that is part of what we're doing. We're supposed to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the lost around us, to those around us. And so when we say, well, we're not supposed to, you know, that's not my gift, that's a duty. It's not a gift necessarily to me. It's a duty, because it's a responsibility as a Christian to share the gospel message with those that we love and that we come in contact with as the Holy Spirit leads us. God wants every believer to have a close personal relationship with Him. As we draw closer and closer to Him, the more we understand His love for the lost and why we should witness. And that's the way it works. We should feel compelled to witness when the Spirit leads us. If we are the type of relationship God desires, we will love people and want to give them hope, the hope that's found only in a relationship with Christ, and only in the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, this is an important message. Like I say, God thought it was so important that He sent His Son, His only Son. He put Him on the earth so that He could teach for a little while and then be crucified for our sins, pay the price for our sins, and die on the cross, only to be resurrected 3 days later to go to heaven. And there He is preparing a place for us, and He's going to come back and get us. That's the message of the gospel. There's hope that when we accept Christ, and as we mature in the faith, we grow in empowerment of the Holy Spirit to live our life here on earth, no matter what's thrown at us. And that's the thing. When I look at non-believers and I think, what is their source of hope? What is it that they have to help them through the day when the world is in the shape it's in, when everything around them seems to be going downhill and declining? When we look at it, or as the old saying goes, going to hell in a handbasket, what do they have? What is it that gives them hope? What do they rely on to get them through? And you know, we have the answer, and we have that hope, and we can give them that hope. But what are we doing? We're living in the middle. We're only going through the motions. We're doing some things, but we're not doing others. And because of it, these people around us are dying and going to hell. And what are we doing about it? You know, several years ago, there was an evangelist at our church that came to Calvary Baptist and Republic, and he said that he wanted us to take our Bibles, and in between the New Testament and the Old Testament, there's an area there that you could write. And he said, I want you to write this in there. And it was to write that Lord, don't ever let me forget that there are people around me dying and going to hell. And, you know, I wrote it in there, and I look at it from time to time. And for some reason here of late, it's been more important and more focused in my mind that this is what we're supposed to look at, that there are people right here in my town, in Republic, that are dying and going to hell. If you look at the size of the town, which I'm probably off a little bit, but it's around 13,000 now, and you look at the number of churches, there's not enough seats in the churches to seat everybody in the Republic if they one morning just all got up and said, you know what, we're all going to go to church today. There's not enough seats. There's only, you know, there's not even close to enough seats. Maybe there's 3,000 seats roughly where they can go to church in Republic. So there's not enough room. And why is that? Because if we were going out and reaching people, you know, I remember growing up as a child, you know, in a small town, Dexter, Kansas, with, you know, like 500 people, that I can remember counting 10 churches when I was in the first grade. Unfortunately, by the time I graduated from high school, there were two. You know, that's the way it's worked. Now there's one. So when you look at it and the community's declined, the population isn't what it was, the whole thing is declining. Why? Because there's no church. Was it because the people were living in the middle and nobody was going out and reaching, and so the churches weren't full anymore, and so one would close and another one would close and another one would close until finally there was just enough churches to handle the people that would actually go? That's the way this works. When we look at it, when we think about it, we need to win people to the Lord. We need to live our lives in such a way that we shine our light, that others around us come and see that, and they want to know what it's about, and we need to then hopefully pack the churches to where, instead of declining and wondering how they're going to get more people in, that those churches have to grow. We need to stop living in the middle. We have a responsibility as Christians and as believers that we're to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're to let the world know that he died on the cross for their sins. And that's the problem. When we live in the middle, as we go through that life of living in the middle, we don't really get that across to people because they don't really see a difference between us and everybody else. The only difference is we go to church on Sunday morning. You know, we might talk a little bit about it, but that's the only difference in us. How are they ever supposed to know? If you don't have the joy of Christ and of serving Christ and in that relationship with God, then how do people know? What are they going to see? Do they just see another person that they think is a hypocrite, which we hear that so often, that the church is full of hypocrites? Well, okay, good. Then when those people come and they act like one, we can tell them that we understand. But the point is that we need to get them there. And we're not going to get them there by living a mediocre life that we just kind of go through, a lukewarm life where we don't really go one way or the other. We just go. And that's what happens too much today, is that we do not have enough people living their faith, making an impact. You know, it's nice to have, and we will have those people on the show that are really out there and they're making the news because they're making an impact. You know, like the Robinson family, you know, from Duck Dynasty and people like that, that's great. And they get a platform. The thing is, when we get that platform, the other thing I want to point out real definite is that we need to look at this and say, okay, we have a platform, but before we open our mouths to speak, we need to ask for God to give the Holy Spirit to us, to give us his words. Let God speak through us and let the glory and the honor go to him. Because if we don't do that, I know from personal experience, when you don't do that, you're going to make a fool of yourself and you're probably going to not glorify God in doing it. So when we get these opportunities, you know, and these are people that I believe probably have done that because they're still making an impact and they're going forward. You know, we have to be real careful because the media, because the world is going to try to trip us up at every step to keep us from getting this message out there, because Satan does not want this message shared. He wants you to be a lukewarm Christian. It's great because, you know, really a lukewarm Christian living in the middle is really worse in some ways than a person who's an unbeliever. who doesn't know Christ, because you claim to know him, but you don't do anything with it. And that's where we're at. I am going to open up the line. You can call in to the show this morning. The number to call in is 347-857-2474 for the last 10 minutes here of it. If you'd like to call in and make a comment, you're welcome to do so. The switchboard is open, so that's what we've got going on. But I'll go ahead and continue to talk about this. You know, if we look at Scripture, and, you know, what is some of what we're talking about this morning based on? And we go to 1 John 3, 10 through 24, and actually let's go one other one first, Romans 10, can I find it? Romans 10, 14. All right, so if you'll bear with me for a minute. Romans 10, 14 says, but how can they call on him in whom they are not believed? And how can they believe without hearing about him? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how welcome are the feet of those who announce the gospel of good things. And that's verses 14 and 15. So it says, how can they know if somebody doesn't tell them, if somebody doesn't go, and if they don't hear the gospel message? You know, so it's pretty clear when we look at that, that we are to witness and that we're to go about our life in such a way that we are a living testimony to our faith. So that's important that we do those things. Then if we go to Colossians, I'm sorry, I'm using a different Bible this morning, and it's taking me a minute to get where I want to go. So I've got, and if you're not familiar with it, and we'll talk about this sometime over the next few days, is we're going through a study in my life group called Share Jesus Without Fear by William Fay and Ralph Hodge. And the Bible that I'm using this morning is what's called the Personal Evangelism New Testament that they have that goes along with that. So if we go to Colossians 1, 9 through 4. For this reason, also, since the day we heard this, we haven't stopped praying for you. We are asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, so that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and growing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience, with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the saints' inheritance in the light. He has rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son. The Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So it tells us that he wants us to walk in the light, growing in the knowledge, growing in our faith, so that we can be an effective witness, so that we can be a believer that brings others to know Christ. If we look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20. And I want to give us a few passages here that will point out what we're talking about. So this is Ephesians 4, verse 20 through 32. But this is not how we learned the Messiah. Assuming you heard him and were taught by him, because the truth is in Jesus, you took off your former way of life, the old man that is corrupted by deceitful desires. You're being renewed in the spirit of your minds. You put on the new man, the one created according to God's likeness in righteousness and purity of the truth. Since you put away lying, speak the truth, each one to his neighbor, because we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger, and don't give the devil an opportunity. The thief must no longer steal. Instead, he must do honest work with his own hands, so that he has something to share with everyone in need. No rotten talk should come from your mouth, but only what is good for the building up of someone in need, in order to give grace to those who hear. And don't grieve God's Holy Spirit, who sealed you for the day of redemption. All bitterness, anger and wrath, insult and slander must be removed from you, along with all wickedness, and be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as God also forgave you in Christ. So when we look at that, it's telling us this is the way we are to behave. That's not living in the middle. That's setting yourself apart. That's doing things that do definitely make you set apart from the rest of the world. And people are going to notice that. Some people are going to criticize you. Some people are going to condemn you for it. Some people are going to, you know, there are people that are, you know, when we look at what's going on in the world, there are people that are losing their heads, literally, for standing up for their faith. But we are going to be called upon to make a choice of do we serve God or do we serve the world? And know about you, but I don't want to be lacking, and I don't want to be in the middle. I don't want to incur God's wrath. I want to incur God's mercy. That's what it's about. We are to live our life not in the middle, but full of the joy of a relationship with Jesus Christ, full of that joy that should come across to the people around us. And we need to look at the way that we operate and the way that we do things on a daily basis to understand what do people see when they see us? What do they think when they hear us talking and they know that we go to church, but the things that are come out of our mouth are rotten things that don't go along with that? It's a really hard thing to do if you don't make the commitment to say, you know what, I'm going to be different. I'm going to mature in my faith. I'm going to walk as an example. I'm going to be these things. And it's not that you go around beating your chest and talking about it in that way. It's just that you live it, and the people around you can see it. And through that, they want to know what it is about you. And then because you're not living in the middle, because you are living your life filled with that joy that you and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit that you're able to witness to them and win them to Christ. So that's the difference. So when we talk about living in the middle, it's a lie. It doesn't work. You can't be in the middle. You can't straddle the fence. You either are one way or the other. You're either with God or you're against Him. And, you know, if you're going to church right now and you don't do anything more than just go to your service and you don't get involved in life group or you don't do anything else, you're missing out is what it is. And you are living in the middle. You need to get involved. You need to go there because that's what sanctifies you. That's what edifies you, other believers around you, as you learn and get more into the Scripture and understand that walk that Christ has asked us to have with Him. You know, we are ambassadors for Christ. You know, if you look at what an ambassador is, and we won't get into that today, we're going to have a show about that one morning about being an ambassador for Christ. There's a big difference in that and just doing the things that you do to get by. You know, we have a responsibility as believers. As non-believers, you need to look to somebody and ask them, how do I come to know Christ? How do I receive that joy, that hope, that power that comes from that? Because that's what's important. You know, it isn't about beating people over the head. I want to reiterate that. It's about living a life in such a way that they want to know what it is that's different about you. So when we do that, that's what we're looking for. You know, we need to live that life in such a way that we are set apart, that people notice, that we're a light on the hill, that, you know, we do the things that encourage people to come and ask, and then we're ready for that when it happens. You can't do that if you're living in the middle. You're not prepared. You don't understand Ephesians 6 and the things that go with being a Christian and the tools that God has given us to use, the sword of truth and so forth. And we need to know that we have to look to Him to lead us through these things. But we also need to go to Him daily. We need to have that relationship that He would like us to have. That's wrapping up our first show this morning. Thank you so much for listening in. Look forward to having you join us every morning, Monday through Friday. And as I say, over the next few days, we will have guests that come on and we'll be talking about how they're making an impact by not living in the middle, and by living their faith. So thank you very much, and may God bless you, and have a great day. We'll talk again on Monday morning. Thank you.